going to open our Bibles or look upon the screen for those of you who did bring your Bibles and don't want to read them. Ooh, how many people brought their Bibles today?
I did.
Okay. Like I said, we're going to go to Acts chapter 9, verses 23 through 25. And if you read along with me, after many days had gone by, this is talking about, let's give you the background on this. Saul has been met on the road to Damascus by our Lord Jesus Christ, been blinded. He has begun his ministry, has not changed his name to Paul yet, but as Saul, he started to talk to people to preach in the name of the Lord. And a lot of people are confused, and a lot of people are very upset with him. And they want to take his life. And it says, after many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. And day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. Okay, interesting. We'll see what that has to do. But before we do this, how many people remember geometry in school? Okay, and you remember there is a mathematical representation of pi, that's p with the small I, and that was 3.14159. Okay, but if you round it off, it becomes 3.1416. And that kind of correlates to Pi Day, which would be 3, 14, 16. So if we have a rounded pi, and pies are round, then on the 14th we can celebrate it by eating pie. What a wonderful way to eat. We can rationalize this. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it a miracle that I was able to come up with? Anyway, and that's your little ditty to smile about today, and you could groan about it after a while. Yes, sir. Oh, yes, you can. Just remember the old saying that pie are round and cobbler are square, so pi r squared, you know, whatever. Anyway, and it goes downhill from there. Actually, we're going to be talking about numbers to begin with, because in Barna, how many of you know who Barna is? They're a research group for Christians, okay? Their research institute back in 1996 found that fully 82% of the Americans believed the statement, God helps those who help themselves, was found in Scripture. Those of you who have studied under me and listened to me know that is not true. Actually, that was attributed to an Aesop's fable, and I will not go into that because I would be digressing. What we're talking about today is many hands. Now, in the story we just read, you know, Paul, who was Saul at the time, got out. But did he get out on his own? He needed what? Helping hands. He needed people to help lower him out that hole in the wall and down. He needed the help of others. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is about how people can be helping hands in this building, in this church, in this body of Christ. And that all of you can participate. One level or another, God has equipped you. The same way these people were equipped with hands and strength to lower Paul and how Paul needed him. We in the leadership need all of you. We need all of you, and God has given all of you talents. You see it every so many weeks up here, the talents that have been given to the people that sing and play. We have talents of people who paint and create. We've got banners over here that have been made by members of this church. We have people that help us with the food pantries. But there are plenty of things to do. And one of the really sad things about most churches, and I'd like to make that different here, is that you find out that 90% of the work gets done by 10% of the people. Or less. But we need to change that up. We need to get people involved, doing things, being part of the ministry. What does it take? It takes us all to simply become disciples of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11, it states, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, you know, it's not your strength, God's strength. The strength that God supplies in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We do it not for ourselves, not for the church, but for the glory of God. God has given you this ability, whatever it may be. Use it for his glory through Jesus Christ. Paul was a great apostle. He had a tremendous ability and a tremendous ministry. But if it wasn't for a group of rope handlers, which is a very simple task, and we have no idea who they were, his ministry would have been terminated. It would have been over. The guy that wrote most of the Bible, most of the books of the Bible, would have not existed. That wouldn't have been there. Except for those hands, those people that were willing to lower him by that rope. Helping hands are the ordinary people that help a leader do extraordinary things. It's amazing what a team can accomplish together. In sports, a team within leagues that have a leading scorer are not always the team that is the most winning team. You've seen people that will do, you've seen it, we've seen it on the Detroit Lions, tell me. I mean, we had a good, a decent quarterback. You had Calvin Johnson, who is now retiring. But what happened? You know, you had these, he makes spectacular catches. The team didn't go much. You know why? Because the rest of the team wasn't there to help enough. Those of you who watch any sport, you take baseball. How good is a pitcher going to be if they haven't got a rest of a team that's going to be able to back him up, to catch the balls, to hit? Okay? We know that it's a case of there's somebody on the team that kind of gets all the credit and gets everybody looking at it, but it's that whole team. Without that team effort, you could have the best pitcher in the world. If you don't score runs, doesn't do any good in baseball. Same with basketball. Doesn't matter if you got one guy that does well, if nobody else is doing well, doing defense and whatever. I don't care what sport it is. Well, golf, but that's not a team sport. Or bowling. But in any team sport, you need the rest of the team. Church, you are the team that supports Patty and Crystal and myself. You support Greg and the rest of the ministry up here and all that we do. You are the supporters. You are part of the team. You are part of what goes on here. You're not spectators. You're not here to just come in and be entertained and listen. You're here to lend helping hands, to do some of the things around here. You know, you're not going to be able to do everything, but there are things that you've been blessed with that you can do We have people here that can teach, people here that can paint, people here that can clean, people here that can do many things. But we need help. We can't do it all. The more we try doing all the little things, the less we're able to do as far as leaders. We need everybody. What do helping hands do? They do their job, and they do it well. Maybe they can't preach. Maybe you can't do miracles, or you don't think you can. Maybe you never get in the spotlight at all. There's people in this church that do wondrous things that are never in the spotlight. How many of you ever noticed how the floors look in this place? Do you have any idea who cleans those floors? Who polishes those floors? Who spends time on those floors? You don't know. I do. But it's the people that give and that don't get a lot of recognition. Thank you, Jerry. How many of you knew that he spends a lot of time here when you're not here, going into the rooms, moving the stuff around, polishing floors? And he's got a big job coming up before Easter. But it's all part of what we do. And people do this not for their own gratification, but for the glory of God. We all want to make this place look nice. We want it to operate well. Because you know what? It's ours. It belongs to all of us. This isn't mine. It's ours. And we're given the responsibility. We are stewards of God's church. We are all part of the caretakers for the church that Jesus Christ has given us called Blessed Hope. We are all part of this. It's part of us. No more, no less. Because of people that help out, the rest of us will succeed. Without them, without your help, we will fall. We will stumble. We will not be able to attain what we could attain. At Blessed Hope, we have people that don't preach, don't sing, don't do anything that it's in the spotlight. But we have people who are artists. We have people who are workers. It's all important. It's all important for the functioning of this place. We need more help, too. How many people have been in the office of Crystal and I and seen that stuff all over the place? That becomes a dumping ground. We need help to put all this stuff away. We need help. We need help. We need secretarial help. We need filing help. We need all kinds of help. We need help cleaning up. And we'll be needing that probably in the next couple of weeks before Easter. We'd like to get this place looking good. But it's all about helping. And there's stuff that all of you can do. And we welcome that help. You know what? Even though your name will not be in the spotlight, that is a ministry that you are doing that is a great asset to the church. Great asset. When do you do it? People do it every day. Take care of the food pantry. Take care of all the food that comes in here. Store stuff. Take trash out. There's a lot of little things that need to be done to take care of who we are. A lot. Many times ministry is seen as a weekend endeavor. That helping hands, the guys that handle the rope, are only here once in a while. No, that's something we need every day of the week. If you have time, you have an ability, come on in, we're open. We'd love to have the help. We need people that even, how about answering phones? Taking notes. That's it. You know, if I'm up and I'm walking around or somebody's not in here to answer those phones, There's people that call in with questions that are not getting answered. I'm not connected to that phone. People are calling it, but we need people to answer it. Some people to help. Helping Hands. Ministry of Helping Hands is not a part-time, but a full-time and a lifetime commitment, a lifetime event for each and every one of us. It may change as far as what you do, but your commitment is that needs to be set as something you'll do the rest of your life, that you're always involved in the church. You know what? I see people that come in here to help serve food from some of these other churches. We've got several people well into their 80s that are showing up here to serve food. There is no restriction on your age. There's no restriction on your ability because there's always something that you're able to do. A simple definition of Helping Hands is someone who consistently is there to handle the ropes throughout a full lifetime of service. It's a good thing for Paul that the rope handlers didn't call in sick. They didn't say they had made other plans. You've seen it on the commercials, haven't you? They didn't state that rope handling wasn't part of their portfolio. How many of you have seen the commercials on TV about the, somebody's helping moving, I'm all wrapped up, all the things. Everybody's got an excuse. We can't be that way. We've got to be open to help. We've got to be open to doing, to being part of the functioning church. You know, we always refer to our church as the body of Christ. Now, what if one part of your body didn't want to work? Okay, I'm walking along, my head starts to itch, and I say, okay, I've got to scratch that. My right hand says, I'm not interested in doing that right now. I'm busy hanging around. You know what? It wouldn't work well that way, I'm falling. Both hands. Get out in front. No, we don't want to. Oh, man, that's going to hurt. That'll leave a mark. But that's what's happening with the body of the church. People are saying somebody else can handle it. You're falling. Let the foot do something. Yeah, well, we could stand there and say, yeah, I like that. I've always cared a lot about my legs. They're always there to support me. My arms, they're always by my side. My fingers are always there to handle whatever I need. Anyway, but what we need is helping hands. People willing to have a Christ-like attitude. To be part of the body of this church, and it's going to make this church fantastic. I don't know if you're aware of it, but our church is getting a lot of viewing of being in a spotlight. There's a lot of people that hear about Blessed Hope. There's the miracle that took place last week remember me talking about the voting? Which, by the way, starts at 8 a.m. on Monday again through 5 p.m. on the 21st. We beat out many, many other organizations because there were a lot of people that knew about us and that voted. People that you don't even know, people from all over the country. But we've been getting a lot of help. We get a lot of recognition for a lot of the things we do. And you know what? I'd like to see you part of that recognition. To instead of just being, say, yeah, I belong to Blessed Hope, you can say, I am Blessed Hope. I am. That is not my church. That is me. We are all part of this. And the more we work together, the more we are able to help others to help the ministry, the more we're able to be helping even further. How do you do it? Number one, you got to roll up your sleeves and get into it. Do something. You can't think about it. You can't talk about it. You have to do. It takes perseverance to be a rope handler. You have to be there and work it through. You can't go, you know, start lowering Saul down and say, oh, hey, I got to go. Oh, sorry about that. No, we've got to be able to work through. You make a commitment, stick with it. You know what? Don't bite off more than you can chew in the first place. But when you do take that time to make an obligation, follow through on it. Others let go, others quit. Don't be a quitter. Don't let go. Again, this is all part of the body that you are part of. Some say the task is too hard, the load is too great. But you know what? People that want to be helping hands, they don't allow that to stop them. Because of the life of others is always in their hands. The lives that we reach out to and touch are in your hands. You could be part of that. And it's not a tremendous output on your behalf. The old story about, you know, many hands make easy work. That's what can be done. There's a story about one of the oldest employees in America. Was a woman who was 96 and works as a clerk in New York City. They asked her why she never retired. She said, because I want to be useful and I feel that I am important here. It's about having a mindset, about having a feeling about who you are and who Jesus is in your life. Jesus doesn't ask you to come on and sit. He's everything that Jesus says is a verb. It's a doing word. Even from the beginning, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Everything Jesus talks to us about doing is something to do, not to sit back and watch, not to sit back and be part of the audience, but to be part of what's taking place. It's a mindset. What you can look at it as is just that your job may be small, but without me, without you, something is going to fail. Something is not going to happen. Why do people do it? Well, they do it because they want to do something and they want their life to be able to make a difference. A difference is something that we can do here. We make a difference in people's lives. You have no idea about the food pantry or the feeding situation here. It makes a difference in their lives. It's important. Some of these people, if we weren't here, wouldn't be eating regularly, would not be eating as well. We're something very important. And you know what? There's a place for all of you. If you can be here during feeding hours and helping people eat, cleaning up afterward. But you know what? There's plenty of time. We're open here most evenings till 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. So there's time. If you're working during the day, you can, you know, pick one evening, part of an evening, and come on in and just say, you know, what can I do? Or you could take responsibility for something. You could say, you know, I'm going to take responsibility for the bulletin board. I'm going to make sure I put up all the information. I'm going to make sure that one room remains clean. I'll come in once a week and clean a room. I'll come in and I'll do something. I'll help afterwards and wash dishes if there's anything at the end of the day. I can help do this, that, and the other thing. You know what? There's a lot that needs to be done around here. I can come in and I can do files because I've got that great ability. I'm OCD, and I got to make sure everything is correct. Okay? There's always something that can be done. It doesn't have to be physical. It doesn't have to be hard. And it doesn't have to be extremely time-consuming, but every little bit helps. And I got to keep telling you, I've got to keep pushing the fact that it's everybody's obligation. And trust me, you'll feel good. You'll have a better understanding of this place, and you'll feel better connected if you're involved. A person without purpose can never be listed in the ranks of helping hands. A person with helping hands does life on purpose. It may not be a job that others want to do. How many of you know that I am fully capable of cleaning toilets and bathrooms and have done that? In fact, that's why I spent a part of yesterday doing was cleaning. There is nothing that is above me. There's nothing that is below me. There is only me and what the Lord asked me to do. And things you see things that have to be done, and then you have to do them. You have to take part. We may not receive rewards or recognition that some of the other people receive, but we feel a significance in what is accomplished, what is done. We don't need anybody else. You know what? There's a lot of things that you don't get compliments on, but boy, I'll tell you what. If somebody didn't clean the bathrooms, you'd hear about it the other way. If the halls were littered, or the trash baskets were overfull, yeah, there'd be complaints. People don't always compliment the job well done, but they notice if it's not done. But that's why we need you. You can go by and just to yourself and say, you know what? All those baskets are empty, and that was my doing. Thank God I was able to do that. Makes the church look better, smell better. I feel better. In 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4, it states, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd of a flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Your reward will be here and very evident when the Lord returns. Things you do for the body, with the body, will be rewarded by the head of the body, by Jesus Christ. He is not going to miss the point of what you have done. But on the other hand, if you don't, there is nothing that you will be glorified for. How many people have you come up and said, you know what, Nick, you've done a wonderful job sitting there with your hands folded. Thank you very much for doing that. Who does that? You know, who gets a compliment for just being there? Not many people. If you're on any type of a sports team, thank you for coming out. I know you didn't practice. I know you didn't play, but, thank you for being there and wearing that uniform. People do that? Do you go into a job and the boss comes up to you? You know what? Thank you for coming in every day. I know you haven't done anything, but thank you for being here anyway. No, it ain't. How many people think that's going to happen? It's not. Okay. Lord isn't going to come back and say thank you for something you haven't done. We need to understand that we will be receiving rewards for what we've done, seen and unseen. What do we need to do to be the helper God wants us to be? Well, let's start out with some simple things. First of all, we have to be faithful to attend and participate in events, in things, in church, Bible studies, prayer groups. But you notice there was an and in there. It's not just attend, it's attend and participate. Number two, to commit yourselves to love the Lord and to love your church family. We're all a family here. We all care for one another. We should, and we better. Number three, we need to pray for the church, for the pastors, for the leaders, and for each other. Pray for the church, for the well-being, that we are able to reach out, that we're able to help others, that we can bring others in and let them become part of the body also and feel the love and understanding. Again, doing. Get to know the spiritual leaders and how you can cooperate with them, how you can do things, how you can help out. Help shoulder the load of responsibility. This is an awfully big building. We left, about 4,000 square feet, and we got in excess of 25,000 square feet here. It's a lot to take. And let me tell you, just walking up and down these halls, you start doing it about 10, 12 times, and you'll understand why we need help, why we need to. And you know what? It takes just something simple. Like if you're walking in the building, there's a piece of paper floating outside. You know what? Pick it up. How hard is that? Pick it up, throw it away. You see something sitting out of place, a coffee cup laying in the hall. Dump it. Sometimes it's not much, but it's your church. If something's out of place, you know, you can straighten a chair. It's simple things, but it's all this stuff cumulatively is about taking care of this place, taking care of our church, taking care of the body, taking care of each other. We have to apply the teaching and the ministry of this church to your lives, the things that you learn from the songs we sing, the things you learn from the preaching that's being done, the things you learn from the Bible studies that you attend. Put them to use. It does no good to sit there and garner all this knowledge and never use it. It's a waste of time. God has given you an ability. Use that. It does no good. How many of you would ever go and buy a big fancy house and just let it set and not live in it? But you say, yep, it's sitting there looking good. Sure is pretty. That's the same way, you know, having a bump motorcycle, you know, my bike, I like it, but what good would it do me if I went out and I spent, you know, $25,000, $30,000, got a big Harley, full dresser, all this stuff, and, well, I'm just going to leave it in the garage. I'm going to sit at the, you know what, I'll come back and I'll look at it once in a while and go, my, isn't that a wonderful motorcycle, and walk away. That's foolish. We don't do that with cars. We don't do it with anything that we buy. But what we do is in the same context, we take all this knowledge, which is gold. It's wonderful to have this knowledge, to have this ability. God gives us the ability to learn, and then we just let it set. We don't use it. We're wasting it. Apply the teachings. Seek out and use the gifts that God has given you. If anybody has not taken a spiritual gifts test, see me. We can take you through it. We'll talk to you. You may be surprised about what the results may be. It also may confirm what you've always thought was true. But God didn't just make you and leave you. The Holy Spirit has blessed you with things. And the things you can do are different from me. We have, in my own life with Pastor Crystal, okay, there are things that, you know, that I do and that are great, but one of the things that I cannot do, I don't like making dinners. But Crystal does. She's got a heart not only for doing that, but for making it taste good. You know what? But this is something aside. God has given her a marvelous brain, a wonderful ability to be able to think and work in an administrative situation. Yet she sets that aside to make sure the people are eating. She's got a couple gifts. She uses them both. Each and every one of you have got to remember that just like that, you've got something special, something God has placed in your life, given you a talent, a desire, something you can do, and you've got to use it. You've got to reach out with it. You don't want to waste it. What are you going to do? Jesus said, you had all this and you did what with it? You remember the one with the parable about the servant that took the gold coin and did what? The talent, and what did he do with it? He buried it. And what kind of a response did he get from the master? Didn't get a compliment. Don't bury your talents. Contribute to the solutions and do not contribute to the problems. If you see something wrong, try and advise. Even if it's just advice, we can use it. But don't just sit and complain. Sitting and complaining does absolutely nothing good. You become more of the problem. We are here to come up with solutions. We're here to come up with answers. We are to be the answers to people's life. Jesus Christ came here not to come here and condemn us, right? He could have done that very easily. But he came here to save us, to help us. And we need, as followers of Christ, as disciples of Christ, to do the same. It's up to us to be followers of Christ who did positive, saved, helped. It's like a person that had the most beautiful garden in a city. And one day this person was out working on their garden. They were hoeing weeds. And a man passed by and said, God has really blessed you with a beautiful garden. And the person smiled and said, he sure has. But you should have seen it when God was only doing it by himself. We've got to be interactive. We have got to be the hands of God in doing the things that we're supposed to do and doing them in the name of Jesus Christ and with the heart of God. God can intervene a lot, but we are the ones that are doing the intervening. We are to be the hands, the feet, and the mouth of God. God wants to interact with us. We're that important. Do you understand that? God, the creator of all, the one who can do anything, wants and needs you to be part of the solution in somebody else's life. How about it, church? We have to be people that believe in what God has given us. We have to be part of the team. We have to be the church, not a member, but we need to be the church. Helping hands, they work, they give. They hold the ropes because they know that someone else is depending upon them. Helping hands, they are what makes this country work. They're what makes a business work. They're what makes a church work. They're what makes a family work. Hear the call to become helping hands. There are ropes out there waiting for you to pick up and to help with. There are people out there that need you to hang on so that they can live. There's another story of an old man. He was working on a bridge every day, and it was amazing that he didn't use the bridge anymore. But he put on new boards, he secured new beams, and made it strong. And one day someone asked him why he worked on that bridge. And he said, "When I was a young man, I crossed this bridge, and it was strong enough for me. One day, there may be a young man who crosses this same bridge, and I am making sure that the bridge will be strong enough for him. As others had to build the bridge for me, I must now build the bridge for others." That's the motto of the Helping Hands. Others, then me. Amen.